Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. An unusual sister act from the early 20th century provides the drama on When Hope Calls, the first scripted series from Hallmark Movies Now, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. The first episode plays tonight, and executive producer Alfonso Moreno will join me next. In the early 1990s, the members of hip-hop group Wu-Tang Clan faced a fork in their lives. Go down a path driven by innovative music, or go down a path driven by drugs. Wu-Tang, an American saga, depicts what went down and beyond, starting next Wednesday night on Hulu. Later this hour, we'll connect exclusively with creator executive producer Alex C. from Los Angeles. Also ahead, the latest on Hurricane Dorian, American Princess Goes Away, other news, no quickies, and our latest classic trivia question. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. A very happy Friday afternoon and start your Labor Day weekend to you and all, and welcome to the program All About Television, our final episode of August 2019. Month one of our 13th year on the air, and the third of 3 episodes we are doing this week. We have a wonderful hour in store with you, some great guests, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes to get interactive with us, a phone call at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The numbers get anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. We've got our chat room in business, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we get you involved. And, of course, while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. 86 degrees at the top of the hour. And before we go any further, let's give you the latest on Hurricane Dorian. At this hour, it stands 480 miles east of the northwestern Bahamas. It is now at a wind speed of 115 miles an hour, gusts to 130 or 140 miles per hour, and it's moving northwest at 10 miles per hour. All this information according to the National Weather and Hurricane Service. Right now, Dorian is a Category 2 hurricane, and it is now expected to hit the Bahamas Sunday morning and make landfall in Florida between Monday morning and Tuesday night. The exact pathway of the storm at that time, still unclear, should be more clarified by tomorrow afternoon. If you're in Florida or Georgia, heed your local authorities. Stock up on items. Stock up on food. If you need to move to higher ground, do so. Don't wait to the last minute. This is not a storm to play around with. Any hurricane of any category certainly is that case. But when you're dealing with a possible Category 4 hurricane of 150 miles an hour or more, and that's not without the gusts, it is extremely powerful and extremely dangerous. So if you're in Florida or even southern Georgia, do what you have to do. Stay in touch with your local authorities, local TV and cable systems, weather channel, AccuWeather, et cetera, and we will all get through this together. Once again, Hurricane Dorian is still a Category 2 hurricane. It is expected to go to Category 3 by tonight and maybe hit Category 4 by end of day tomorrow. Now some news, no quickies. Lifetime has dropped the axe on American Princess, its only scripted series at the moment after one season. Facebook Watch wrapped up a revival of iconic MTV reality groundbreaker The Real World this morning. SmackDown Live will be renamed Friday Night SmackDown when moving from US Network to Fox October 4th. And speaking of Fox, tomorrow at noon Eastern, they will join ABC in carrying live early afternoon college football. Fox will launch a weekly pregame hour at 11 a.m. Eastern time. And that is news notes for today. A lot of you know that Crown Media Family Network consists of 3 services available on most cable and satellite systems: the Hallmark Channel, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, and more recently, Hallmark Drama. But over the last year, there has been a 4th service that has been introduced through smart TV sets and smart devices called Hallmark Movies Now. Earlier this month, it launched its first original movie, In the Key of Love. And tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific, it will debut the first episode of its first scripted series, When Hope Calls. Joining us live in our radio exclusive is the executive producer of that program, Alfonso Moreno. Alfonso, welcome in.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Certainly can. And Alfonso, where are you calling from? What city?
from Los Angeles, where we where the writer's room is for this show.
Alfonso, has it really hit you that that tonight you are going to launch a new era for Hallmark Movies Now with this first scripted series?
Yes, I'm excited about that. This will be the first scripted series for their new streaming service, Hallmark Movies Now. It's sort of, we're breaking new ground, and I'm excited about that.
And this is ground that originally was started as an episode of one of the most popular shows on Hallmark Channel, When Calls the Heart. Tell us how it went from being a single episode of that show to a full-fledged series now.
Well, it was all by design, because Hallmark, I had discussions with Hallmark prior to writing the Christmas movie, and we had already decided they wanted to do a spinoff for their streaming service. So we came up with the idea of bringing in these two sisters in the last Christmas movie, where we would then spin it off to that these two sisters who run an orphanage are moving into another town, one of the sisters' hometowns, and we planted it there, had a storyline where the sisters are sort of, their wagon breaks down and they're sort of stuck there, and there's a little mystery about what's going on, but it's a very heartfelt movie. And then what we did is, in the last two episodes of the season, we brought back one of the sisters for an arc, just to remind the audience that these characters that would be coming in the new series.
Now, had you worked on When Calls the Heart before becoming the person overseeing this show?
I was the showrunner of When Calls the Heart for the last, since season 5. So I've been running that show. And showrunner means you're sort of the head writer and you're running the show in terms of the production. So I've been doing that since season 5. And this year I'm doing both. Season 7 of When Calls the Heart and the season 1 of When Hope Calls.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think When Calls the Heart has become the hit it has on Hallmark, and how much of the essence of that show do you want to bring to When Hope Calls? How do you want to either bring the essence or expand on the essence of When Calls into When Hope Calls?
Well, and what I believe is that there are these the family values of When Calls the Heart, I think, resonate with an audience that has, there's a broad spectrum of available shows on the air. I think when the people, there's a certain segment that of society that would just like to not feel they can watch their television with their kids. And I think that's something that's becoming sort of a lost, becoming part of history now, where you'd sit down with your kids and watch a show and know that you can feel comfortable that you're not going to be put in an awkward situation with them or have them watch something that you're not comfortable with them watching. So there's that element. What I think on a more specific level, what this show, what When Calls the Heart delivers, and which is the essence, I think, of When Hope Calls, is that there are three elements, I think, of When Calls the Heart that resonate and which I always try to deliver. And that's, I've created an acronym with it. It's humor, emotion, and romance. I think When Calls the Heart has that. And the acronym is HER, this humor, emotion, and romance, and on all of the shows that we do. And I think that part of When Calls the Heart is brought into When Hope Calls. I wanted all the shows to have some humor, a lot of emotion, and romance, and our family-friendly viewing. So I think that sort of captures the essence of both shows. And when Hope Calls is different in the sense that it takes place in a different kind of part of the country. It's a little more rugged. It's a ranching community. Some of the actors, I think a lot of the actors are probably a little younger. The town is younger. It's a little more, it's a smaller town. But so there's definite differences. The characters are very different. So they're, the dynamics of each show is different. But when you boil it down, to its essence, I think both shows have those qualities of being having humor, emotion, and romance, and family-friendly viewing.
We're speaking with Alfonso Moreno. He is the executive producer of When Cold the Heart, the popular series on Hallmark Channel that you just heard is going to be going into season number 7 next year. But right now, his latest creation, a spinoff of When Cold the Heart, When Hope Calls, premieres tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on Hallmark Movies Now. It's available on many smart TV sets and smart TV devices like Amazon Fire TV, Roku, Chromecast, et cetera. Alfonso joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised as we wrap up August and get ready for a wonderful Labor Day weekend. Simon Adam, I'm with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for our guest, ring the call in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We're kicking off September, the day after Labor Day, with a 90-day edition for you. And we'll kick it off with the executive producer of the new Showtime series, Couples Therapy, Josh Kriegman. And then you'll meet the person who is bringing back Dog the Bounty Hunter to television in a new series that premieres next week on WGN America called Dogs Most Wanted. His name is Chris Dorsey. He runs his own company that does a lot of unscripted TV, Dorsey Pictures. We'll talk to him about the new WGN America series and what else his production company has got up their sleeve. Also next week, 50 years after the Brady Bunch first appeared on network television, ABC specifically, Home and Garden Television is presenting what a lot of people are very excited about, a very Brady renovation. That's right, renovating, you guessed it, that house on the Paramount lot that the Brady Bunch family was there for so long. We will speak with two of the executives at Home and Garden Television about this new series that premieres next week. That's all coming up on a 90-day edition to kick off September. That's Tuesday, not Monday, Tuesday of next week, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. All right, so let's get into When Hope Calls. Let's get into these two sisters, what they're up to, and how this orphanage comes into play.
Well, the background of these two sisters is that, they were orphaned. One was 5 and one was 7. And the 7-year-old was adopted early on after about a year. But the 5-year-old stayed within the system of the orphanage system until she was discharged, basically. And the older sister named Lillian goes, the backstory is that the older sister went looking for her younger sister when she was already an adult. They found each other, and they decided to open up this orphanage. And what appealed to me about that sort of dynamic is that to have a relationship show about these two sisters who are getting to know each other again, and both having had this very different background, where the older sister, Lillian, grew up in a more privileged circumstance, and the younger sister obviously had to struggle through the orphanage. And what sort of the process of getting to know each other all over again and coming back together as a family, which ties in with the orphanage, because this at the orphanage, you know, that they create, which is a small one, they want to, you know, have a different type of orphanage than the institutional one that they both experienced, Lillian for a shorter period of time than Grace. But they want to create a more of a home loving kind of environment, and at the same time, you know, get to know each other all over again, and then experience their own romances and how they can help each other as sisters see each other through difficult times. I think it's that dynamic in writing this season. What it's done is it's created a lot of good emotion, which is what you always want to look for as a writer. You know, stories that just are full of emotion and of these sisters trying to just find their way in the world. And they're young women who are trying to raise children with complicated pasts, and that's another challenge. So the dynamic of the series is really, I thought, you know, brought on some really interesting emotional stories.
It seems you could go a lot of ways with the storylines here. You can go obviously into the two sisters, both together individually, and what they run across. Is setting up the orphanage and get into the orphanage itself, sort of in a wagon train kind of style, and focus on some of the kids that are raised. You also get into the whole question of the town and the reaction to the orphanage of a, not in my backyard kind of thing, if that pops up. And maybe the opportunity to even address some social issues like bullying or how it was that time in the West, or dealing with the rugged terrain, or dealing with mental illness or unique kids. How do you see the storylines developing?
Well, there's a lot of what you just described in it. It's the dynamic of trying to understand, where these kids have come from and how you might best help them. The dynamic of trying to, the town initially, their approach, at least some in the town are, I think, approaching it, the orphanage, like, I think orphanages are great, but exactly that, why here in our small town do we really want one? And what kind of influence are those children going to have on our children? So it's early on in the series, it's our sisters, winning over the skeptics in the town. And then there's another dynamic that is in the series, which is that the most powerful person in this town of this, in this ranching community, is a woman whose husband died as a result of an accident that she blames Lillian's adopted father on, who's passed away. So there's tension between the most powerful person in Brookfield, our town, and the woman, one of our sisters who run the orphanage, and that creates tension. And then to complicate matters further, this rancher woman, played by Wendy Crewson, her son starts developing a romance with the younger sister named Grace that runs the orphanage. So there's this, a little bit of the Romeo Juliet aspect of it, where these two families don't get along, and there's a couple who, despite it all, are drawn to each other. So we're playing on that sort of those kind of storylines, which I think are really it's been a joy, and it's been fun to see it come alive. It's been the actors have been fantastic. I write the stories and then these scripts, and then I see it performed and I get teary eyed even though I know it's coming. They just really do a great job at making these characters come alive.
Yeah. Let's talk about the two women who play the sisters. They're played by Morgan Cohan and Jocelyn Hooter. Where did they come from, and when did you know that the chemistry was there for them to really handle the series?
Well, in the process was in the last year's Christmas movie, Everyone Calls the Heart. And we went through a long casting process to try to find the right characters. I mean, I knew the kind of what roles they were. I knew that Grace was going to be this person who had a more bubbly personality and was hiding and masking a lot of pain of having gone through the system throughout her childhood of being in an orphanage, and that was Jocelyn Hudon. So we went through multiple casting sessions trying to find that role, and the same with Lillian. It was just a long process of trying to find this, for her, it was this character who could carry this, this emotion of having had this more privileged life and carrying it's really a conflicted emotion for her, because she's so appreciative of having been adopted, but she feels so badly that her sister didn't, and she's more the more organized person, and her life is a little bit more put together because of her background, but she's still, having her own sort of little demons that she's having to deal with by having this lifestyle of her having sort of being the have and knowing that her younger sister was the have not. And we play on that, we do go into those stories of what it was like, and Grace, the younger sister, Jocelyn Hudon, seeing her literally living in the house that Lillian grew up in now, and seeing the kind of life that she had, and both sisters coming to terms with that, and both, it's both they're both graceful and emotional about it.
When Hope Calls is the first scripted series from Hallmark Movies Now, available on most smart TV sets and TV connected devices, and premieres tonight. First episode at 8 p.m. Eastern, that's 7 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific time. We're talking with Alfonso Moreno. He's not only the executive producer and main writer of this series, he's also the executive producer of the series this was survived from, the very popular When Calls the Heart, going into Season 7 next year on the Hallmark Channel. Alfonso joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Apple, I'm with you live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. We're also on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. We hope you're preparing for a wonderful and excellent Labor Day weekend. And we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes is a phone call from you. So make it happen, our meeting moments with our guests. It's 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have a wonderful episode coming your way first Friday, September, a week from now. We will have the executive producers working with Tiffany Haddish on a new ABC Sunday night series, Kids Say the Darndest Things. First was Al Linkletter, then Bill Cosby. Now it's Tiffany's turn to help us understand. And out of the mouth of gems come babes, or vice versa. We'll have the two executive producers working with Tiffany Haddish on it, Eric Schatz, and recently from Card Sharks on ABC, the arrival of that series did very well, Jack Martin. Also on the program, we will have an exclusive interview, the co-executive producers and writers of Netflix's new sensation that premiered today, The Dark Crystal, the new prequel series based on the famous Muppets movie. We'll have three, not one, not two, but three of the executive producers and writers on the program. And we may have another guest coming up as well. And we'll tell you about that if we do get that person onto this episode. Kids Say the Darndest Things and The Dark Crystal. That's the shows we will spotlight a week from today, exclusively right here, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Growing up, were there any Westerns that you enjoyed that you sort of used as inspiration for your scripts?
Not really, because you know this script, this series is so. There are Western elements to it, but it's such. What amazes me about this time, and there hasn't been a lot of shows or movies based on this period of around 1916, 1917, and it really intrigues me for both When Calls the Heart and When Hope Calls, because life was at the cusp of change, and I go into that in both series, which is there are horses and there are cars. I just love that life was about to move forward, and I put it in both series of how technology is just starting to come into the world. And when Calls the Heart, we introduced the telephone last year. But this year, you know, and this town is smaller, so it doesn't have that. But it has the car, and so I love having these two worlds just merge, where you're going from one world to the other. So I don't remember a lot of movies like that. I'm making it up as I go. Although I'm sure, as in everything, you draw this bank of everything you've ever seen. And you put it into, it's filtered through your life experience, and it comes out in your writing. But I haven't specifically drawn on any particular series.
Mm-hmm. What about issues of diversity? Dealing in, for example, does the orphanage take in Native American children? Or does it take in kids African American or Latino or Asian background? Does that come into play at all? And if not in this first set of episodes, you want to do that down the road.
Well, yeah, we will do it, and we've done it in the Christmas movie. There was you'll see that they had a very diverse crowd of orphans. They had six, seven orphans in the Christmas movie, and it was a very diverse group. And this one, there's some diversity. Not as much as there probably will be in the future, but there's definitely some diversity, and there's definitely diversity in our cast. So I will be doing that. And it's interesting you mentioned the Native Americans, because I do want to incorporate that storyline into our series. And that was part of what I pitched when I went to Hallmark, because I thought that would be an interesting element to it, and I think we are going to include that in coming seasons.
I wonder, what was it like for you to balance two series in your life, get a new series off the ground, and also continue to do what you're doing for When Calls the Heart?
It is a challenge. It's something I look forward to doing, because it is a big challenge. With When Hope Calls, the added challenge was is that we literally built a town. We built a town from scratch, where we designed. Well, I was part of designing every building and part of how we wanted the buildings to look. When I came on in season five of When Calls the Heart, obviously the sets were already built. The actors were the regular actors were already cast. And this one, and When Hope Calls, everything was built from the ground up, where I cast every actor and I built the sets, and we hired every member of the crew. So that was a little bit more time consuming than I think it. Than just coming into a series and running it that's already off the ground. So it was a challenge. It was a great experience. It was a joy, but it's been really a labor of love and a lot of labor. But it's been great. I just for both series. I have established relationships. When Calls the Heart, I know all the actors, we talk all the time, and it's just a great experience on that show to stay on it, keep that show, and I know that show really well, and then on this new show to create it from the ground up, it's been a lot of time and effort, but it's been really a rewarding experience, a very unique rewarding experience to do it from the initial, when you birth the idea and then just sort of see it grow and develop it. It's been fantastic.
Hallmark Movies Now takes a new leap into original programming tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific, with its first original series, When Hope Calls, spinning off from the popular Hallmark Channel series, When Calls the Heart. Again, it's tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific, on Hallmark Movies Now, available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. For more details online, here's where you go, www.hnnow.com. www.hnnow.com. And don't forget to catch Season 7 next year of When Calls the Heart, one of the popular original series you can find on the Hallmark Channel. For more details about that series, hallmarkchannel.com. Alfonso Moreno, executive producer on both series, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on getting this new series off the ground, and with it, hopefully a new era of original programming for Hallmark Movies Now. Pleasure to have you on. Have you and your cast and crew have a wonderful Labor Day weekend, and hopefully we'd love to have you back soon.
Thank you very much, Simon. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Alfonso. Bye. Take care. Enjoy the weekend.
You too. Bye.
Alfonso Moreno, executive producer and head writer of When Hope Calls, premiering tonight on Hallmark Movies Now. Joining us live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow, televised coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Do you want to better yourself? Really use this Labor Day weekend to, take on some new traits to how effective you can be with people and effective you can be with yourself. Well, try out this audiobook. It's the 50th anniversary of a book originally that came out by Stephen Covey. It's called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. If you've always wondered, how do the great people in life work their life so well? This book, audiobook style, can hold the answers. The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and Stephen Covey narrates it as well with brand new material from the original edition. Anyway, you can catch it right now through a special trial offer to audibletrial.com/televised. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken visual entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 180,000 titles to choose from, including the wonderful catalog of Audible Originals that keeps on growing every day. That's original audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man shows. And the best thing is that when you sign up for a free trial at audibletrial.com/televised for 1 month, you get not one, not two, but 3 audiobooks, and 2 of them are Audible Originals. And don't forget, you can listen to all these books on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Once again, for that free one-month trial, 3 free audiobooks, audibletrial.com/tellalive. Coming up in our next half hour, our classic trivia question of the week. Get your pencil and paper and thinking caps on. You just might win the upcoming book, The 3-Minute Rule. But first, joining us live from Los Angeles, we will have the creator and executive producer of Hulu's brand new miniseries, Wu-Tang, an American Saga, that premieres next Wednesday. Alex C. joins us after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio on the planet this Labor Day weekend. It's www.blogtalkradio or www.spreaker.com. More than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR Spreaker is your home for sports time radio. Check out what they've got to say about the August action and what they've got coming up with college football's first big weekend, the U.S. Open here in New York, and a whole lot more. Today, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, Sports Time Radio, right here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And don't forget, best VTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Friday before Labor Day weekend 2019. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, New York. If you have questions or comments for our next guest, make sure you make the phone ring at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, Simon Apple 048. We just want to welcome somebody who just came into the room. So put the room in or use the phone, and either way, we will get you on the air. It's been a great year for Hulu in terms of new series like 10-15, like, Rainey, and more recently, the wonderful miniseries Catch-22. Well, you can add, starting this coming Wednesday, another series to that. It's already getting rave reviews. It's Wu-Tang, an American Saga, the drama version of the career of some of the most innovative artists in the world of hip-hop and general music. Joining us live to talk about the series is its creator and executive producer, live from Los Angeles and in our radio exclusive. We welcome in Alex Z. Alex, welcome in.
Hi, how are you doing, Simon?
Very, very fine, thank you. What has it been like for you to put this series together?
I mean, it was surreal and a dream come true as someone who, grew up loving hip-hop and loving specifically the Wu-Tang Clan. To be able to work with RZA and write together, which I'd never done really before, it was really just an amazing experience.
How did you and RZA and the Wu-Tang Clan, how did you all hook up?
RZA had worked with Imagine. I think the first thing that he worked with them on was the movie American Gangster, and he was in it. So I think that's how he began his relationship with Imagine, and then I think that relationship continued when he did. He was one of the stars of their show on Fox, I believe, called Gang Related, I think. And I think during that process, he developed a relationship with Imagine, and they began talking about, doing a project together and doing, something about the Wu-Tang Clan. So it started there, and then as it progressed, they Imagine looked to identify someone who could be a potential partner to him. They found me, and they put us in a room together, and we got along great, and just sort of a process of kind of getting to know each other and being comfortable with each other, and then going on this creative journey together.
And before we go any further, we should say that Imagine is Imagine Television. That, of course, part of the great entertainment empire formed by Brian Grazer and Ron Howard, which is doing all sorts of fun things in television and movies and so on and so forth. What's it been like for you to, in scripted fashion, document what this innovative group went through? And especially, I mentioned the tease, that they really faced a fork in the road, which was to either we're going to create a career crafted by our music, or we're going to go down a path where our lives could be ended very quickly by drugs.
Yeah, I mean, it really helps to have a partner like RZA who, even though it's his life, as someone who's, worked in various capacities in the entertainment industry as an actor, as a director, and as a writer, so he understands, that this isn't a documentary, that even though we are telling the story of people's lives, that dramatically to do it in sort of a sequential fashion may not be the best thing for a television show. So, to take things that were inspired by real life, that were actually things that happened in real life, and also to kind of, play with the timeline, we have to kind of factor all those things and make sure that whatever we create is spiritually true to you know, what happened. So there may be things, again, you know, we like to call it historical fiction. And, you know, there are things that actually happened. They may not have happened at that time period or whatever. There are things that are inspired by things that happened, and there are things in there that are, quite frankly, fictional. And it's just sort of the sort of witch's brew of combining all that stuff together to make great television.
Was there something, though, that both you and the RZA wanted to get across most of all in the series? To that, no question about it, this is what made this group so important in music.
Yeah, I mean, you know, especially how we pitched the show, it was. There was something. I mean, I'm just really going to speak from personal experience here, as a Chinese American kid growing up in San Francisco. When you see a rap group called Wu-Tang Clan, it's just like, what is, what's that? Do you know what I mean? And if you just, you know, just by listening to how they put their music together, the stuff they rapped about, and then where they were from, they were able to kind of be very accessible. To a wide audience, in a way, right? I was a huge fan of N.W.A., but I can't say that I could relate to any parts of that experience, right? But if you look at the content of what Wu-Tang was kind of rapping about, and even though they came from very, very tough backgrounds, their reference points to someone like me made more sense. Do you know what I mean? Like, they were talking about, you know, regardless of where we were both from, or where they were from, where I was from, they were talking about things that I understood. And so therefore, I think that a lot of people in my position, they felt the same way too. So there's a sort of an accessibility, an international accessibility to their music that kind of invites a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds in.
Mm-hmm. Is this your first time doing television? I know that you wrote Superfly, which was the reboot of that very famous movie from the 70s with that brilliant score by Curtis Mayfield.
Yeah, I, you know, throughout my career, I've sold pilots here and there. I had one made that they released as a movie called Sucker Free City that was directed by Spike Lee, that was originally intended to be kind of a backdoor pilot. But this is my first show to be greenlit. All my previous work was, you know, in features, as you mentioned, Superfly, and, you know, also was one of the writers on Watchmen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Watchmen is going into HBO's TV series in October. Which I hear
is
quite good.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I'm excited, and I know Damon a little bit, and he's always been very generous with me.
Damon Lindelof, yes, who did another wonderful series for HBO last couple of years called The Leftovers, based on the book by Tom Perrotta, who was on our show during the first year of that series, and it really marvelous run. By the way, I want to welcome somebody into our chat room again, Simon Apple 04. If you have a question or comment for our guests, put in the room or make the call, 646-652-2906. And by the way, that number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. We've got Alex Z with us. He's the creator and executive producer with the RZA of Wu-Tang, an American Saga. It's the brand new scripted series about that influential music group and what they brought to society and how the road was that they got there. And that will premiere a week from this coming Wednesday on Hulu. They won most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Alex joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Tell Live. Found out I'm with you from the other coast in Webby, New York. We're happy you're with us as everybody gets ready for a wonderful and hopefully great safe Labor Day weekend. Live from New York right here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, also on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Again, if you have a question or comment for Alex, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And again, coming up a week from today on our program, we'll help kick off September with the people working with Tiffany Haddish on the brand-new ABC version, Sunday night this fall, of Kids Say the Darndest Things. Eric Schatz, and more recently from their successful reboot of Card Sharks, executive producer Jack Martin. We'll also have the executive producers of Netflix's new series, New Sensation, The Dark Crystal. That's the prequel series to that famous Jim Henson movie. We'll have three of the executive producers joining us all live. That's next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Alex, once you got everybody together to put this series together, what was the big challenge for you, not only in doing your first television series, but also really grabbing hold of this story and making it all it could be?
Well, the biggest challenge is kind of the way we wanted to tell a story, which is not doing it in traditional biopic fashion, if you will. You know, for anyone that sees the show, and I don't, you know, I don't want to ruin anything, but we do some unusual things. We're taking some chances. It's not a straight ahead story, and you know, Woo stands for witty and unpredictable. And we wanted to do with this series what they did for music, which is, you know, not necessarily, you know, following traditional rules, which is not, you know, kind of giving you what you expect. So I think that was the biggest challenge in terms of, you know, in some of our later episodes, you'll see we do some kind of higher concept ideas that, quite frankly, you know, it's a lot bigger show than one would think. So it's a lot. It was a lot of production and logistical challenges, you know, to, you know, basically match our creative vision. You know, especially in the first year show, at this scale, there's a lot of moving parts, and I would say that was without a doubt the biggest challenge. You know, but it was every you know, I don't think anything that's good ever comes easy.
This is an ensemble cast in every sense of the word. A lot of the people here, some might know by face, but a lot may not know by name. How did you put, you and your colleagues, put this cast together? What were you looking for?
Well, Rizzo always says that, let's look at their eyes, right? And we were, you know, less concerned with physical resemblance than we were, again, and I'll use this word a lot, you know, especially there's such a spiritual aspect to Wu-Tang music and to RZA himself, you know, people that we felt captured the spirit more than, you know, physically resembled them, you know, more than, you know, their voice necessarily resembled them. You know, those are all things you have to consider, but really wanted to find people that could capture the essence. You know, for Shameik Moore, RZA had worked with him already, so there was already, you know, a relationship and a comfortability in working with Shameik. You know, obviously Ashton Sanders, who plays RZA, you know, has a very impressive body of work. And then we worked with great, you know, our casting director, Kim Coleman. You know, she did a great job of finding and, you know, identifying people. We also had to, you know, work with someone in New York, Jessica Daniels. And, you know, they just did, you know, did all the hard work of, you know, finding hidden gems, and, you know, it was great. We didn't have any kind of a mandate to, you know, populate the show with name actors either.
Did you film here in New York?
Yeah, we did. Predominantly in Staten Island, some stuff in Manhattan, some stuff upstate. We took over a brewery, and I think we took over what used to be an old brewery and built a stage there. And then we have a stage that used to be, I believe, a prison.
Well, I'm sure that's a Staten Island. I know that there's a fairly new production complex in Staten Island, which was a former jail.
Right. Yes. Correct. I believe that's the one.
What was it like to recreate the time, recreate early 1990s, when this group was on the run?
Well, it was interesting because on one hand, it's obviously very nostalgic, you know, for a lot of the people, even, you know, a lot of people who worked on the show, who lived it. You know, it was like a trip down memory lane, and it was really kind of, I think, really interesting for RZA too, because, you know, we the exterior house that we used, it was his real house that he grew up in. So you could just imagine how surreal that must feel to, you know, have grown up in a house and now to come back many, many years later to film a TV show about you and your group of brothers and go back and film at that house. And also, I think where we are now in terms of, you know, sort of hip-hop culture, it's kind of like there's sort of a 90s vibe coming back. So in some ways it just, you know, kind of all sort of felt right.
You know, a couple of years ago, TV One did a biopic on Rosa Parks, and they actually used the bus that Rosa Parks was on, where,
oh, wow,
she made that decision to stay on the bus. And we talked with the producers about what it was like to actually use it, first of all, to get that bus, and then to use it, and what the actors must have felt like, especially the actors playing Rosa Parks, to realize I'm part of history here. I'm actually sitting in a landmark of American history. So I'm wondering, when you film in a house like that, that is so critical to not just the storyline, but really the life of these people, it had to give off, as you said, some surreal tones. Or like to the actors, like, did they find it spooky? Did they have to sort of like, you know, like clear their head before they did the scene?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think what I did appreciate is because we have some, you know, younger actors who didn't, you know, quite frankly, didn't grow up on Wu-Tang. And, you know, probably in the beginning of this were less familiar. You know, obviously they knew who they were, but less familiar and less connected to it than, let's say, someone like myself was. But what I did appreciate is how much they appreciated what Wu-Tang meant, and they appreciated what they were representing. And so, you know, not only with RZA's house, but, you know, many locations that were real, right? That you know, they could understand the gravity of the situation, and they could understand the history. I mean, we went and filmed in those same housing projects. When we were on set and walking around, it's still a lot of the same people that, you know, like RZA knew. Do you know what I mean? It's still kind of a, you know, a neighborhood. And so, you know, the actors definitely, you know, appreciated that, and I believe, you know, you'll see with their performances completely honor that.
Wu-Tang, An American Saga, is Hulu's new series, and it premieres next Wednesday, September 4th. Hulu, of course, available on smart TV sets and smart TVs all over the place. And we've got the creator and executive producer with the RZA with us. That's Alex Z. He's live with us from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow will be televised. If you have a question or comment or remaining moments with him, give us a ring. 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04, my name. Don't forget, we're not on Monday because we want you to have a great full Labor Day weekend. So we'll be with you on Tuesday at the very same hour. We have a 90-minute show in store for you. We'll have the executive producer of the new Showtime series, Couples Therapy, that begins next week, Josh Kriegman. We'll also have unscripted TV producer and company owner, Chris Dorsey. His latest project premieres Wednesday on WGN America. It's Dogs Most Wanted, the new series with Dog the Bounty Hunter and his late wife, Beth. And we'll talk about the fact that the show was in production when Beth passed away some time back. And we'll also find out what Dorsey Pictures is also up to in the world of television. And finally, we'll have two of the key executives at Home and Garden Television that next week, almost 50 years from the day that ABC premiered The Brady Bunch, they will launch their long-anticipated series, A Very Brady Renovation. 90-minute episode tomorrow will be televised to kick September off. That's coming your way next Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. Do not miss. It's going to be a lot of fun. How much fun was it for you, Alex, not only to work with these actors and crew and do a TV series start to finish for the first time, but also to work with Hulu, and also to work with people like Brian and Ron and Francie Calvo, the head of Imagine TV?
Simon, this was, I've been a working writer for about, I think, 14 or 15 years now, and this was by far the best experience creatively I've ever had in my life. Imagine and Hulu could not be more supportive. You know, especially when we came in with like some of the bigger ideas of and different ideas and unusual ideas, and you know, they saw the vision with us and supported us and supported me and RZA as first time showrunners. You know, I can't say enough good things. It doesn't mean it was easy, but the fact that they supported us and, you know, bought into the vision at every step of the way, I can't tell you how much, you know, after, you know, going through a lot of different sort of development situations in my career, I can't tell you how much I appreciate that.
Alex, we start this week off with Christina Wong, the comedian and performance artist who just put together a pilot that's really a web series that was showcased at the recent Asian American National Film Festival here in New York, which for the first time did TV pilots and web pilots as a special presentation. And I answer this question, and I want to ask, make sure that we get this in for you. What's your sense about where Asian Americans are standing in television right now, particularly at a time when in recent months we've had a show like this, which you are a showrunner on, The Terror Infamy, which is winning rave reviews for AMC, Angela Kang, the executive producer of The Walking Dead, one of the popular shows on cable, not to mention AMC. What's your sense about where Asian Americans stand as producers and generators of original television?
Well, I mean, obviously, we're in a this community in a lot better position now, as I believe, you know, other people of color. You know, I just want to be careful, and you know, sometimes you experience this where, just like many things in Hollywood, something can be treated as a trend, but it should not be treated as a trend. It should just be treated as, you know, as something acceptable to explore, as you know, kind of, you know, opening up the horizons for people, so that this just becomes normal and not a fad that just comes and goes because, you know, Fresh Off the Boat does well, or Crazy Rich Asians does well. Do you know what I mean? That, you know, these stories in general will always be here, these kinds of stories, and that there is an audience for them if they're done right. So without a doubt, things have improved greatly, you know, but the hope is it's just becomes sort of normal business from here on out, not just for us, but for all people of color, you know, just, you know, all it is about the opportunity. That's all, you know, and that people can see that people of all backgrounds are interested in seeing stories and hearing stories about people of all backgrounds. And even to the point where, like, you know, it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't have to be a story about a specific culture or anything like that, but that, you know, there's a sense of normalcy that you can just see these types of people on screen playing, you know, normal roles, you know.
It just seems that the opportunity is really breaking wide open. I should also point out Into the Badlands on AMC, and more recently, and we covered this, Two Sentence Horror Stories, which has an Asian American who created the series and one of the key executive producers, which is now running, by the way, weekly on the CW, and doing quite well there as well, being one of their top new summer shows. If you get a second season of Wu-Tang, how do you and RZA want to expand the story?
Well, you know, trying to phrase this without giving giving away what happens in the first season, but you know, it's called Wu-Tang: An American Saga because it is actually quite an epic story, as I hope, you know, people will watch and see and be able to see that, you know, there's a reason why I don't think any one of us thought it was appropriate for a movie. The story is too big. There are too many people. I'm in it, and so there's just so much story to be told, and there's a lot of members of the group. And so I guess the best way I could tell you without giving too much away is that, you know, the first season focuses on certain characters, but the show is about the Wu-Tang Clan. And so therefore, as seasons go on, the story just naturally expands in terms of the characters you're going to start paying more attention to. You know, we talk about Lost and Orange is the New Black because in reference to our show sometimes, because both of those shows, you know, had big casts, but they started off with a core group of characters and then they started to expand the storytelling. So that's sort of the best way I could answer your question.
By the way, I want to thank I think his name is Purple PH for being with us in the chat room. So thanks for being with us, and you can still come in if you like and ask a question if you can, and we'll try to get that in before we wrap things up. And now that you've had a taste of doing television, do you want to sort of make this more of your career as opposed to film? Do more series? Do spread yourself out, or do both? What's your thinking after this taste of doing your own series?
Yeah, I mean, it was very, very different, but also and challenging, but also very gratifying. You know, in film, you know, many, many times, too many times, the writer is treated as kind of more disposable. Where in television, you know, the writer is far more valued, which I appreciate. So, you know, I definitely, and I consume, as a consumer, I consume more television than film at this point. So I definitely, you know, see myself continuing down this path. I also don't, but I don't ever want to spread myself too thin. You know, any project I'm on, I want to make sure that each has the appropriate attention that it deserves. You know, I don't want to participate in things just to participate in them or to expand a brand or anything like that. You know, I don't want to do a disservice to anything I put my name on.
The program is Wu-Tang, an American Saga. It's a very special saga, and it premieres on Hulu next Wednesday, September 4th. Remember that Hulu is available on most smart TV set and smart TV devices. For more details about the program online, go to Hulu.com. That's Hulu, HULU.com. Wu-Tang, an American Saga, begins next Wednesday, September 4th. Alex C., the creator and executive producer with The RZA, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations to you, The RZA, Imagine TV, Hulu, everybody on creating this series. Hopefully it's the beginning of a wonderful run, and we really appreciate you being aboard. Have a fantastic Liberty weekend.
You too. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Alex C., creator, executive producer with The RZA of Wu-Tang, American Saga, joining us live from Los Angeles. The series premieres Wednesday, September 4th on Hulu. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. Get out your pens, paper, thinking caps, because if you are first with the correct answer, we've been showcasing the question all week long, you can win the 3-Minute Rules, the upcoming book that has you say less to get more from any pitch or presentation, written by Brant Pendivic, unscripted TV executive and producer who was with us on our show Monday. Here's the question. The Untouchables was the first television series from legendary executive producer Quinn Martin. What was the last? The Untouchables was the first television series from the legendary executive producer Quinn Martin, whose credits include The Fugitive, The FBI, Cannon, Barnaby Jones, etc., etc. What was his last original series? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Make sure you enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you press the correct answer, you will get that book. And if you missed the question a moment ago, we'll post tomorrow morning and throughout the weekend, if need be, on Facebook and on Twitter at ABC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, be in. And all the very best. Want to thank all of our guests today and all week long for a wonderful time. We're back with you on Tuesday, not Monday, Tuesday, for a special night edition of our show. And remember, we'd like to hear from you, so don't forget, email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. You can also check out reruns of the show as either in a radio podcast at blogtalkradio.com/televive, iTunes, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Spreaker, and Apple TV's podcast. Remember, we love hearing from you because what you say matters, and we hope you take time out of Labor Day, if you like, to check out our episodes from all of our episodes from all this August. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. The Monday Televised is brought today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a trio of great audiobooks and a one-month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great, wonderful, and safe Labor Day weekend. And please keep thoughts in mind and prayers in mind for all the people in Florida who may have to deal when the weekend is over with Hurricane Dorian. Remember, those of you in Georgia and Florida listening to us, do whatever you have to do. If you have to move to higher ground, please do. Keep checking in with your local radio, TV, cable systems, weather channel, AccuWeather, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we will get through this. We hope to have you back on Tuesday, when your Labor Day weekend is done, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, 90th edition of the Protocol About Television, right here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And, of course, as we like to say, whatever you're doing this weekend, please make it safe and make it great. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.